Psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, the voice you trust for the family you love.
That's just not even fair for Dr. Dobson to ask us that question. You're the ones we're supposed to come and ask you that question.
I think as a Christian, as a theologian, this is the beginning of a turning point.
Everything in us wants to stop that. We want to think that as moms, we can control that, and we can't.
This is Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, along with Ryan Dobson and Luann Crane.
Doctor, by now our listeners have probably discovered that this Family Talk broadcast is deeply committed to preserving biblical morality in the culture. And our focus yesterday and again today is on the sanctity of all human life. Why don't you give us some background?
Well, Luann and Ryan, we aired what I thought was a powerful program last time that featured the words of the late Henry Hyde, the 16-term congressman from Illinois, and he gave this speech in 1996, during which he pleaded with his fellow congressmen for the lives of unborn children. And specifically at that time, the House was considering an override of President Clinton's veto of the ban on partial birth abortion, and that had just occurred. And Henry Hyde gave a never-to-be-forgotten speech at that time, and he was successful, and the House voted to override the veto. Unfortunately, the Senate failed to override President Clinton's veto, and the killing continued. Now, I want to take just a moment to explain why we went back 14 years to hear the words of a man who has now gone on to heaven. He died in 2007. And what we're facing now is a liberal Congress and the Obama administration and what they're doing in order to fund abortions and to promote them domestically and internationally. And let me give some examples of this pro-abortion bias, which does explain what we did last time and what we're trying to do today. Ryan, start with the funding of Planned Parenthood with federal dollars. What's the latest information on what the government is doing with our tax money regarding the killing of babies?
Well, it's almost unbelievable, Dad. I mean, really, an organization that kills more than 300,000 unborn babies a year is given millions of dollars annually, over $349 million a year.
Well, and Ryan, it's easy to say, oh, that's out there, that's at Planned Parenthood, but I think what sobers me is the very fact that this new health care bill will require that each insured person, I mean, that's the three of us sitting right here at these microphones,
right,
each insured person would be paying into a special account, which would then in turn pay for more abortions. I don't want to be a part of that.
Well, Luann, I'm afraid that we already are. The new health care bill is a gold mine for Planned Parenthood, and it's already being implemented. Two states, New Mexico and Pennsylvania, have already received $197 million tagged for the killing of unborn children. I mean, let's face it, the liberals in Congress and the very liberal administration in the White House are up to their knees in the blood of unborn children.
Well, and the irony here is that right when the polls are showing public opinion on abortion going the other way, more and more people are opposing abortion, the government continues to push this.
Yes, and what they're doing is legislating against the will of the people in so many instances. Okay, all that we've said thus far is background for what we want to do today. And now let me say this very quickly. The House voted to override President Clinton's veto of the ban on partial birth abortion. That's what we heard last time when Henry Hyde was pleading with his colleagues. That bill then went to the Senate, and we want our listeners to hear a portion of the impassioned comments made by Senator Rick Santorum, Republican of Pennsylvania, as he implored his colleagues to vote for that override. I hope our listeners will listen very carefully to the words of Senator Santorum. When someone opened a door to the chamber of the Senate and a baby begins to cry, it was almost on cue. And we have to ask ourselves, a cue from whom?
Today we're going to be making the decision about whether in this country it will be legal to allow a viable baby to be delivered outside of the mother and then killed inches before its first breath. How far do we go? Where do we draw the line? Don't we have any more lines? Some have likened this chart to a depiction of an appendicitis operation. Appendicitis. That's not an appendix. That's not a blob of tissue. It is a baby. It's a baby. Did you ever really think that this could actually be happening on the floor of the United States Senate? When you came here and there are people in the audience who maybe are just visiting Washington, who just sort of wandered in, did you actually believe that we could be actually contemplating allowing thousands of these kinds of procedures to continue? I sometimes just have to sit here and pinch myself and wonder whether this is all real, whether this really is the United States of America. The senator from California said she hears the cries of the women outside this chamber. We would be deafened by the cries of the children who are not here to cry because of this procedure. I cry with these women, this difficult decision to make. But there are alternative measures available. The senator from Colorado made the most poignant statement today when he said he was been in a hospital looking at all that is being done to preserve life. In one operating room when there is a baby being delivered and everything is being done to save that baby, in the next room, one is being delivered to be killed. That cannot continue to happen in this country. The senator from Colorado is right. What are we to become? If partial birth abortion is allowed to continue, surely it will mark the beginning of the end of our nation, of our civilization. No nation, no civilization that abandons its moral foundations, its spiritual beliefs, by legally destroying its own unborn children in this barbaric procedure can possibly survive. Please, I ask my colleagues, I plead with my colleagues, don't let this happen on our watch.
Well, it did happen on the watch of the Senate in 1996 because the effort to override President Clinton's veto of the ban on partial birth abortion went down to defeat. What a deeply moving moment that was in the chamber that day, because I was there. Mm-hmm. I was in the gallery along with Chuck Colson and other religious leaders, and I will never forget it. I hope our listeners caught what happened there. Senator Santorum said that the senator from California, referring to Senator Barbara Boxer, said that she has heard the cries of the women outside the chamber. And Senator Santorum then said we would be deafened by the cries of the children because of this procedure. And at that precise point, a baby began to cry. It was a stunning moment for the senators and for those of us in the gallery as well.
You know, Dad, it was as though that baby crying represented all the babies killed by that horrendous procedure known as partial birth abortion.
Well, that occurred in 1996, but there was yet another effort made to make partial birth abortion illegal, and that occurred in 1999, just 3 years after what we just heard. And during that debate, Senator Santorum made another attempt to persuade his colleagues to override yet another Clinton veto. And what we're going to hear now was a highly emotional debate between Senator Boxer, Democrat from California, and Senator Rick Santorum, Republican from Pennsylvania. You won't forget the recorded interchange that occurred between these two senators as they talked about the murder of babies by what is known as partial birth abortion.
I don't know why you defend this. I don't know why you defend killing a baby this far away from being born, who would otherwise be born alive. I don't know how you defend it. But I think the issue of where we draw the line constitutionally is very important. And I'm sure the senator from California agrees with me. I think the senator from California would say that she and I, the senator from Illinois, senator from Arkansas and Kansas, her, we're all protected from the by the Constitution with the right to life. Would you agree with that, the senator from California? Answer that question.
I support the Roe versus Wade decision.
So you would agree that once the child is born, is separated from the mother, that child is protected by the Constitution and cannot be killed. You agree with that?
I would make this statement, that this Constitution, as it currently is, and some of you want to amend it to say that life begins at conception, I think that when you bring your baby home, when your baby is born, and there is no such thing as partial birth, the baby belongs to your family and has all the rights. But I'm not willing to amend the Constitution to say that a fetus is a person, which I know you would, but we'll get into that later. I think what my friend is doing by asking me these questions is off point.
I would ask the senator from California, again, you believe that once the baby comes home, obviously you don't mean that they have to take the baby out of the hospital for it to be protected by the Constitution. Once the baby is separated from the mother, you would agree, completely separated from mother, you would agree that that baby is entitled to constitutional protection.
I'll tell you why I don't want to engage in this. You did this same conversation with a colleague of mine, and I never saw such a twisting of his remarks.
Well,
I'm
be
not
clear,
talking
then.
About.
Let's
I'll,
be clear.
I'm going to be very clear when I get the floor. What you are trying to do is to take away the rights of women and their families and their doctors.
If I can reclaim my
time,
what I'm trying
procedure,
to do.
To have a procedure, and now you're trying to turn the question in when does life begin? I'll talk about that on my own time.
Mr. President, what I'm trying to do is to get
the senator from Pennsylvania has
the time. What I'm trying to do is get an answer from the senator from California as to where you would draw the line. Because that really is the important part of this debate.
The senator from Pennsylvania
will
yield for a question.
I will repeat, since the senator has asked
Pennsylvania
me,
has the time.
Since the senator has asked me a question, I told you I'm answering the question that I've been posed by the senator. And the answer to the question is, I stand by Roe v. Wade. I stand by it, and I hope we have a chance to vote on it. It's very clear, Roe v. Wade. That's what I stand by.
Are you suggesting Roe v. Wade covered the issue of the baby in the process of being born?
I'm saying what Roe v. Wade says is that in the early stages of a pregnancy, a woman has the right to choose. In the later stages, the states have the right, yes, to come in and restrict. I support those restrictions as long as two things happen. They respect the life of the mother and the health of the mother.
I understand
and
that.
That's where I stand. And no matter how you try to twist it, that's where I stand.
I would say to the senator from California, I'm not twisting anything. I'm simply asking a very straightforward question. There's no hidden question here. The question is that once the baby is born, is completely separated from the mother, you will support that that baby has, in fact, the right to life and cannot be killed. You accept that, right?
I don't believe in killing any human being. That is absolutely correct, and nor do you, I'm sure.
So you would accept the fact that once the baby is separated from the mother, that baby cannot be killed?
I support the right, and I will repeat this again, because I saw you ask the same question to another senator.
All the person has to do is give me a straight answer.
And what do you define separation?
Well, let's
you
define
answer that question.
Okay, well, that,
you
let's
define.
Say the baby is completely separated. In other words, no part of the baby is inside of the mother.
I mean, the baby has been birthed and is now in its mother's arms.
Well,
that baby is
I don't know if it's necessarily
being.
In the mother's arms, but it's,
well,
let's say
it
in
takes
the obstetrician's hands.
It takes a minute to do. I had two babies. And within
We've
seconds of their birth,
so
you didn't have any. Your wife had.
Well,
your
my wife and I had babies together. That's
your
what
wife
we do
gave
things
birth.
In our family.
I gave birth, and I can tell you, I know when the baby was born.
Good.
And I can
All
tell
I'm
you.
All I'm asking you is, once the baby,
baby
leaves the mother's birth canal and is through the vaginal orifice and is in the hands of the obstetrician, you would agree that then you cannot abort that you cannot kill.
I
the
would
baby.
Say when the baby is born. The baby is born and would then have every right
okay.
of every other human being living in this country. And I don't know why this would even be a question,
well, then
to be honest.
Because we're talking about a situation here where the baby is almost born. And so I would ask the question of the senator from California. If the baby was born except for the baby's foot, if the baby's foot was inside the mother, but the rest of the baby was outside, could that baby be killed?
The baby is born when the baby is born. That's
I'm
the answer
to
the question.
I'm asking you to define
I don't think anyone but the senator from Pennsylvania has a question with it. I've never been troubled by this question. The baby, you give birth to a baby, the baby is there and it is born.
So if the
that's
baby,
my answer
so
to
if,
the question.
So if the, well, but what we're talking about here with partial birth is the senator
I would
from California
say that the
knows,
baby
is
born baby
in
when
the
baby
process of being born. And yet there's a
the
very
process
small
of being
part
born.
Of the baby inside of
well,
the mother.
Well, this so is why this conversation makes no sense. Because to me, it's obvious when a baby is born. To you, it isn't obvious.
Well, maybe you can make it obvious to me. So what you're suggesting is if the baby's foot is still inside of the mother, that baby could then still be killed.
No, I'm not suggesting that
well,
in any way.
You.
I'm absolutely not suggesting that. You asked me a question.
Well,
in
I'm
essence,
I'm asking
when
you
the
again.
Baby
can
is
you
born,
tell, can you answer that
I will
question?
Answer the question when the baby is born. The baby is born when the baby is outside the mother's body. Baby is born.
So, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but again, what you're suggesting then, if the baby's toe is inside of the mother, you can in fact kill that baby.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So if the baby's toe is in, you can't kill the baby. How about if the baby's foot is in?
You're the one who's making these statements.
We're trying to draw a line here.
I'm not answering
what you
these
are
questions.
Is that
I'm
the
not
baby's
answering
head
these
is inside
questions.
The mother, you can kill the baby.
My friend is losing his temper. Let me tell you, this woman is not laughing right now, because if your law was the law of the land, she might either be dead or infertile. So if the senator wants to laugh about this, he can laugh all he wants.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. President, all I would suggest is I was not laughing about the discussion. It's a very serious discussion. Mm-hmm. I was smiling at your characterization of my demeanor. I have not lost my temper. I think I'm, frankly, very composed at this point. But what I would say, and the senator's walking away, is that the senator said that, and again, the baby is born when the baby is born. I said, well, if the foot is still inside the mother, she says, well, no, you can't kill the baby. Well, what point, if the foot's inside the mother, you can't, but if the head is the only thing inside, you can. And so here's the line. See, this is where it gets a little funny.
Parliamentary inquiry, Mr. President. Let the record show that I did not say what the senator from Pennsylvania said that I did. Thank you.
What we're saying here is this is too close to infanticide. This is barbaric. This fuzzies the line that is dangerous for the future of this country. And what you saw is the senator from California was hesitant to get involved in that because she realizes how slippery this slope is. That you can say, well, the foot doesn't, but the head does, and maybe the ankle doesn't. And folks, we don't want to go there.
We need to step in here on this Family Talk broadcast. What you are listening to is a breathtaking account of a debate which occurred on the floor of the Senate in 1999 between former Senator Rick Santorum, who you heard right at the end there, and Senator Barbara Boxer.
Senator Boxer said the baby is protected when he is taken home from the hospital.
Yeah. Mm.
Did you hear that?
That was really early on in
yeah.
it. When the baby goes home, then it's protected.
I tell you what, let's back the tape up and let's hear just that piece.
Mm-hmm. I think that when you bring your baby home, when your baby is born, and there is no such thing as partial birth, the baby belongs to your family and has all the rights.
Rarely when we're doing this broadcast, in which we talk about some very serious issues, but rarely do I feel my temples begin to throb and my blood pressure go up, because what we just heard there is difficult to comprehend. What happened is that Barbara Boxer revealed what she really thinks, that that baby does not have life until the parents say that it has life and until they take that baby home. Mm-hmm. That's what she believes. Mm-hmm. She said it. And then she spent the rest of the debate trying to scramble out of what she had revealed.
I think what struck me even was her tone as a woman to this gentleman when she cites him and she says, "You didn't have any babies," as somehow being male, as the two of you are here, that renders you unable to talk on this issue. It's only us women, and I just think that that counts out the entire male population. That's
it
unfair.
Does. It, you know, when I was listening to Henry Hyde yesterday, immediately in my head was the image of when Lincoln was born. Mm-hmm. I watched him come out, and to think that four-fifths of the way through, that you would end his life, it is incomprehensible. It is almost impossible for me to talk about that.
And without an anesthetic. Mm-hmm. Thank God for Rick Santorum in that moment, for having the courage to stand up there like Henry Hyde did, and we heard that last time, and defending the unborn child the way he did, and to have done it with such passion and such logic. Let me tell you something else about Senator Santorum. He lost his Senate seat in 06, and I still can't believe that the people of Pennsylvania did not honor him for his defense of the family and defense of morality when others were not willing to put it on the line. Mm-hmm. But there's something else about Senator Santorum and his wife Karen that I want to call to people's attention. They knew shortly after this debate that Karen was carrying a baby that had physical problems and maybe mental problems. They were pretty sure it was a baby with Down syndrome, and they already had 5 children, and this would be their 6th. And I talked to Rick Santorum at that time, and I asked him, Rick, did you ask for an amniocentesis to be done to confirm the diagnosis? And he said, why would I do that? It wouldn't change a thing. And now they have the most precious little baby, a little girl named Bella, who has brought so much joy and light to their family. And the rest of the family just adores this little girl. You see, the senator and his wife live by the principles that he was talking about and defending in the chamber of the Senate.
So it's important to know that this whole idea of the sanctity of human life is not an abstract idea to him. I mean, he brings a sense of humanity to this issue. Even little Bella just puts a face on the whole debate, Doctor. It takes it out of all of that arguing on the floor, and it puts a human face on it. The Santorums did it right. They chose life, but I've got to tell you here in the close, I'm very conscious of the woman listening right now who didn't do it right. Mm. She didn't choose life, and this has been a very painful message for her to hear today. She did cave in to those pressures and tragically chose to abort. In these closing moments here, Doctor, speak to her. Has God turned his back on her?
Absolutely not, Luann, and I'm glad I got a chance to add this last thought, that we don't want that woman that you're talking about to hear us sitting here in judgment of her. We're judging our culture. We're judging the decisions made by our elected representatives, but we're not judging hearts. That's up to God to do that. And there's no sin that can't be forgiven by Christ. There's nothing that any of us can do to make him stop loving us. And I hope those women that are listening today Emotions have been stirred by the topic of abortion, that they will embrace the grace and forgiveness offered by Jesus mm-hmm. Christ through his death on the cross and his resurrection, and hope that they will find someone they can trust who can help them as they process their grief and their guilt.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dad, at myfamilytalk.com, we have a link to a nationwide database mm-hmm. of pregnancy resource centers where you can find counseling or other resources. They have post-abortive counseling groups that minister specifically to people who have made a mistake. Or if you'd like someone to talk and pray with you, please call us. Our number is 877-732-6825. Again, it's 877-732-6825.
And when you call us, let us know if you'd like to be on our mailing list. Dr. Dobson has clearly said that we will not back down from fighting for righteousness in the culture like you've heard today. If you want to be kept up to date on issues like this that we are addressing constantly here at Family Talk, or if you can partner with us financially as we continue to push forth in these endeavors, give us a call. As Ryan said, 877-732-6825, or just go to myfamilytalk.com.